My stress level is way higher than my alcohol budget.
Sir, you need to leave.
By the way, I know it's super racist for Arnold to be like, hello, my name is Arnold. Is it super racist for me to go, hello, my name is Julio?
No, because it's not racist. When you're Hispanic or Asian or African American,
isn't it still super fucking racist though?
It's not racist to
because it's white?
Yeah, it's the only
that's the only reason that it's not racist?
Yeah, because if
but
you're
one race against another, isn't that the definition of racism?
No, because white people have never struggled.
Tell that to the fucking Ukrainians.
Well, they're not. Well, I should say white American. Well,
right?
Yeah. Well.
He came from Austria for no
Arnold
money.
Is basic. Arnold
no money.
Arnold.
No money.
That's his argument. This is why I can make fun of people because
I
have
no money. Yeah, but then you also
made
like $10 million in money. I know, but no one was giving me $10 million. I didn't. I was born.
The thing is that he is so, like, people don't see Arnold and they're like, oh, this, where's he from? Austria?
Austria.
People don't look. People don't think. Oh,
I said that so like yes.
Austria, yes. Well, back in grad school, we used to discuss his heritage. Yeah, because people think of Arnold as like Dutch from Predator or like the dad from Jingle All the Way.
That's my favorite Arnold.
Oh my god, Jingle All the Way is a great film. That was like Arnold
we'll get you
and
the present. We'll get you
that
the
was
present.
A good cast, man. That was Arnold and that was Sinbad.
And
Jim Belushi has a cameo in that.
Oh, no. One of the greatest comedians of all time.
Don... What's his name? I almost said Don Rickles. That's not
Don
Rickles. No, yeah, I know who you're talking about. From SNL.
Yeah, but we need to say his name.
All right, let's look him up. So, Jingle All the Way.
You should definitely look him up on SNL.
When you go to a... When you Google... When you... Not Google, but when you want to look up an actor or a movie, what's your go-to source? Like, for an application?
I'd say IMDb.
Yeah, me too.
But it's like Google, and then let me get to there.
No, I start IMDb all the time.
Really? You just
because
go
it's like, if you don't know the guy's name, what are you going to type in? The movie you know he's in?
Yeah.
Wow, they made a Jingle All the Way to...
To where?
Starring Larry the Cable Guy.
I'm about it.
Oh my god, it came out in 2014. Holy shit, that's not that long ago.
I'm going to watch that.
His name was Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
Yeah. And his name in the show in the movie was Ted Malton.
Phil Hartman. There's certain names in this industry that we really should fucking know, and it's a shame that I don't. It's just a shame that I don't know a lot of the names of the people that I'm most influenced by.
Oh, well, I mean,
I'm not saying
we're not obligated to memorize all the celebrities that
we're... Dude, I don't know. Anytime that you see anybody on any award show or talk radio, they're like, they fucking call these people's names like they have an encyclopedia of something upside. I mean, my friend Patrick Lutterberg, dude, he can name you every actor, every director, every fucking script supervisor from Casablanca forward.
I'd say, yeah, I would say a lot of actors or artists in general, I would say mostly actors, can be like, oh yeah, that movie directed by so-and-so that was scored by this movie starring so-and-so, and like, yeah, they can name the whole thing. Who also did that the same movie with this person that back in 1992 with the same director, and it's like...
That's not me.
Yeah. I can do that. I'm like a, if it were levels from 1 to 5, I think I'm like at a 4 when it comes to that.
Dog, I'm a 1.2.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What's one of your, when you think of an actor for an influence, when you think of like, when you look at a poster of a movie and this actor is on it and you think, I have to watch this movie.
Willem Dafoe.
Really?
Almost every single time.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
Why do you think he's not doing, like, a bunch of blockbusters and he's still staying in the independent realm?
I think that he...
Because he very well could be in, like, the next Star Wars movie if he wanted to. He has, like, that... He's got a very good character. He's got that look.
I think that he's been blessed and on... I mean, he did play the Green Goblin. It's not like he
mm-hmm.
didn't...
No. I mean, he's definitely been in that world, yeah. He was a great Green Goblin, too.
It's just, I mean, I saw an interview of him recently, and it just kind of talked about how he, you know, he did experimental theater for so long, and I think when you come from that world right out of the get, like, from the get-go, instead of having, like, I don't know, you book a series when you're 22, and you're on the series until you're, you know, 35, and then you get off of that, and then you start acting, and then suddenly... everything that you know from acting, even though you have might have a huge range, is just TV for 20 or for, you know, 15 years, or however long. And Willem Dafoe, I think, takes the liberty to say he gets offered a role and he's like, yeah, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. Like, Antichrist? Shit. Have you seen that film? Who would take, like, I mean, I'm sorry, like, you give...
So you're the manager of a rundown motel in the middle of Orlando, Florida, and your life is not so
good. Well, I think that's an easier sell than Antichrist.
That's true, that's true. So, I want to go all the way back from the beginning, from when you were a wee little lad.
Mm-hmm. Born in Mexico City, southern-ish quadrant of Mexico.
Really?
Towards the center. It's very central. I wouldn't say it's in the middle central mass of Mexico. It's a little bit south.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Hospital Los Angeles. Or Los Angeles, then something else.
Can you translate that?
Los Angeles. the hospital of Los Angeles, but in Mexico City.
Oh, wow.
I moved to the U.S. for the first time when I was like 2 years old. My dad was doing this whole trying to expand my grandfather's company from Mexico City, which did dubbing, into Los Angeles. And so when I was two, you know, I was here for the Northridge earthquake, which was, I mean, I don't remember it, but my mom was like, what? That's crazy. That's not how my mom
speaks. Dude, your mom.
My mom speaks at all.
Is your mom Escalito from Nacho Libre?
No, she's not.
What? You're crazy.
What? Mijo, why'd you say I speak like this? Like, I don't know, mom. It's just easier than try to pretend.
I'm imagining your mom like the old lady from Coco.
Which, again, love Coco, hate the grandma. I don't understand why the whole family stands behind. Like, that son should have been like, mom, don't break my son's guitar. And that...
Oh, I think you meant the great-grandma. I was like, no, not she didn't do anything.
No, the great-grandma is... Yeah,
yeah, that grandma was terrible.
The grandma is fucking horrible.
Yeah, that's not...
Coco's mom. Where's Coco's mom in all this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Hispanic grandmas aren't like that.
Yeah.
That was a bad reputation.
That's not my grandma.
That's not my grandma. My grandma is Cuban, and she has never done anything.
But also, like, the mom in that, like, when is your mom like, hey, tell your fucking mother to not talk to my son like
that. For sure, yeah. No, it's weird. It's like, it's a weird representation of like that.
I know many, 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 many Mexican women.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of them like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of the movie, though. I thought it was okay. It wasn't what I thought
it's
it was.
Because you're not Mexican.
I guess so. Is that bad to say?
No, it's fine.
Okay. I was more of a fan of...
No, but I was born in Mexico City, and I moved to the U.S. when I was two. Moved back because my mom wanted to raise us in Mexico. She was just like,
shh. Was that important for her to raise you guys in
your
home? Yeah,
she, I guess you could call her, like a feminist. Yeah, I mean, she is very much so. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she marched, but she also.
In Mexico?
Yeah, made it a point. At the Olympics, she has a fantastic story. Her and her older brothers and her sister all got arrested because they were protesting the Olympics when it was going on in Mexico City.
How long ago was that? Had to been, what, 90? What year were you born?
No, I want to say 60-something.
Oh, you weren't born yet.
No, this is like back.
Oh, really? I don't know any stories of my mom before I was born.
Let me get the actual date.
Yeah, take your time.
Just because... Oh, fuck this up.
Yeah. Get the dates right, man. You got to know. Got to know your history.
No, what's sad about that is that a lot of students went missing, a.k.a. killed. I don't want to say by the government, but, you know, a lot of people definitely disappeared around that time.
Really?
Because they were causing, quote-unquote, civil unrest, when really they were just arguing that, hey, you guys are hosting the Olympics in a country that needs a lot more attention than the fucking Olympics. 1968.
That was the same controversy as the Olympics being held in Brazil. Remember, a lot of people were saying how they were using all this money to build a beautiful stadium when they were building around poverty.
I think that's a general around before it kind of seemed like there was. You would say before because I would think like the 60s was before, but it seems like the Olympics used to be an idea of bringing all the countries together
mm-hmm.
and a celebration of
mm-hmm.
sport and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like every other sport. It's like
it's the yeah. hashtag Olympics.
The problem that I have with like calling out people for consumerism and everything, our fucking careers like depend on people consuming
mm-hmm.
our product. This whole podcast, like, the idea of it is that people will consume it and listen
uh-huh.
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure.
And hopefully, so we'll see. It seems very hypocritical for us to bash it. But anyways, at the time, my mom was bashing it. And and she got arrested. And so with, like, along with my uncles and my aunt and my grandfather, who at the time worked in the government, he was telling me that he remembers walking in and it was like, hundreds of kids, like, just kids, I mean, you know, locked up, and...
Jesus.
And he's just like, those four are mine.
Wow.
Bring them out. And, you know, they left, but as they were leaving, there was people, like, screaming, crying out, like, just tell them that I'm related to you or something. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of those didn't, you know, it's a black spot, it's a dark spot, in not only Olympic history, but also Mexican history, like there are many. But yeah, anyways, so my mom had a very big forward-thinking idea of Mexico saying that I don't want to raise my kids in the United States because I think that I can make, or we can make Mexico
mm-hmm.
as great as a country as the United States. That was one of her biggest things, and also just us not losing the language and the culture, and her whole family was there, and she there was no reason for her to move to the United States. Like, she didn't have a reason to move.
Yeah.
Which is unlike a lot of people. There are a lot of people who have an actual necessity, like, dude, there's no work here for me. It's incredibly unsafe. For me and my family, I'm not going to move. Unfortunately, Mexico is still incredibly classist.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people that have a very hard time moving up in their economic, state. And my mom thought that if we stayed here in Mexico, then, you know, it's kind of like an idea of showing solidarity with your own country and saying, we can fix this.
Plus, the beaches are nicer, the food is better. What are you going
to
do?
Hey, you ever been to Cancun?
The liquor's cheap.
It's fucking great. But
having to advertise your home country, like, but Cancun, though.
Hey, but that cat. Hey, you been to Cabo? You been to Cabo?
Have you been to Baja? Mexico even considered Mexico, though? Baja California even considered Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
I felt like that was so close to...
There's a visibly harsh line at the border. If you go down to TJ, you can...
Wow, I've never heard someone call it TJ.
Tijuana?
Yeah, I've never heard... I guess it's like this we can't use that slang around here.
But you can sit on top of a mountain hill and just... If you're looking towards the ocean,
mm-hmm.
on the left side of the border, there's houses and buildings literally built up, you know, within 10 feet of the border.
Mm.
On the other side, there's this, like, big-ass buffer zone, as if it was, like, filled with landmines or some shit.
Oh, shit.
It's not. But it almost feels that way. And then,
it's
like,
just deserted.
These... insane mansions, like massive.
And the mansions are in California.
Yeah,
this
like
is California.
So, like
okay.
That would be like the southern border of San mm-hmm. Diego. I'm not really sure what the county.
Wow,
would be.
what a sort of image to see. Like, in order to go over there, you have to cross this desert of
it's,
depression.
It's clear. It's very clear.
That's crazy. It's an actual border.
It's an actual fucking line.
That's
know?
Crazy.
But I remember moving to LA. Yeah, sorry. So we stayed in Mexico. I grew up there, moving back and forth. You know, every summer we'd come to LA, and That's how I pretty much learned how to learn how to speak English. You know, Disney movies, coming here every summer, hanging out with my friends and, you know, people that I would eventually consider my family and getting cousins and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, when I was seven, we got held up outside of my uncle's house for some party. And they took my dad for a little bit. I want to say, I mean, I don't really actually remember how long it was, but I know that they took him for a little bit, just kind of like to figure out the kill switch, because the kill switch in the car, it kind of happens a lot in Mexico. It's like, oh, they steal your car, but, you know, the car turns off after so many things, after if you don't do, like, a certain sequence.
Wow, what type of car was it?
I think it was a black Bronco with red interior.
But wait, was there some specific way of running it that they couldn't? What do you mean?
No, you would, back in 97, or I guess even before then, they would put this alarm system where every 30 minutes or every 20 minutes that you're driving, you have to flick the sequence.
Oh, really?
Or else your car will turn on.
I had never heard of that.
And that's very much for so that your car doesn't get stolen.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, shit. Yeah. So they took my dad. And no, so my dad came back, and I pretty much remember it, that being the end of the discussion. Like, fuck it, we're moving to LA.
Because they stole your car?
No, because of the unsafe. Like, that was the closest that I've been to a gun at that point.
Okay, like, let's start over, because when you transitioned into saying we got held up, I didn't know what you were saying. I thought you meant like you were stuck somewhere.
No.
We got held up at a party. I was like,
No.
Okay, so when you say we got held up at a party, that's why my face stayed neutral, because I was waiting for the punchline of the story. I thought like we were at a party, we got held up because my aunt was in the car, and like you mean like you were at a party and people came with guns?
No, we were on our way to a party.
A party, okay.
It was me, my sister, like, mind you, 7'5".
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not 7'5", I'm 7'2".
Wow, you're
five.
Super tall for a baby.
I'm 7 years old, she's 5 years old. My parents were in the front. Also, very interesting, that's the last time that I remember my parents driving in Mexico City without a chauffeur. Like, thankfully, my dad's business went well, and from now then, I don't very rarely remember my parents driving in Mexico City by themselves.
Wow.
And we go quite often. I've invited you many times, and you just refuse to fucking go.
Yeah, but you used to invite me in high school when I was like 16, and I didn't have a passport.
Honestly, now that you're telling me about this kidnapping story, I don't know fucking how.
Like, next time you go to Mexico, I will go with you. But you used to. Okay.
Next time.
Okay. Yeah. I would love to go for New Year's, actually. That'd be great.
Well, you and Rachel will actually more than invite.
That'd be so much fun. Where, in Cancun? In Baja?
No, Tequisquitengo, the lake house.
Oh, really? There's a
lake house, man. You know about the lake house. Ryan's been there. Yassine's been there.
I've heard about all these things in high
Matthew,
school.
Matthew, Janice, and Elliot Evans have been there.
Those people aren't allowed in Mexico.
They were. I took them.
That was then.
I took them.
It's 2018.
that was 2007. Right? That was a different time.
Boy. Wow, they've all been there except for me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I feel like
you
shit.
And Adam. And Adam Applebaum sometimes, like, I'll hear about it. He's like, so thanks for taking me to fucking Mexico, ass. And I was like, dude, would you have gone?
You've definitely invited all of us, yeah.
So we moved to the United States when I was 8. And that's kind of
what do you remember from that situation? Do you were you young?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, what I'd like to know is, do you remember it being really, really, really scary, or was it kind of just like it happened and it was kind of foggy, and I just kind of remember it in like flashes, or do you remember it like so specifically that you can like write it out, draw it out?
I remember.
It was like a car crash where everything's happening in slow motion.
Nope.
No. It happened super fast.
Not super fast. Normal time.
So like everything else.
When I can tell you from what I remember.
Yeah.
I actually remember the armed people being very polite.
They'd done it before. They weren't scared.
Get the fuck out of the car! I'd be like, your kids are in the back. Let's not make a scene.
Really?
Please get out of the car. We're going to take it. Like, that's how I remember
it. But this was in Spanish, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. That's how I remember it.
Wow.
You know? I remember it, we pulling up to my uncle's house, and this is the first time that I've actually tried to remember what...
Really? Is this too much for you?
Mm-mm.
Good, because I'm gonna squeeze it out of you.
My dad was driving, my mom was on the passenger side, I was here, and my sister was actually sleeping to my right, and we drive the normal drive down from the mountains, through the freeway, over to the right, into my Uncle Pepe and Patty's house. We go into their colonia, which is supposed to be like this closed off private area.
Community, yeah.
You know, where it's like only certain people are supposed to be walking in here.
We call that Venetia Lakes in Kendall.
No. I'm talking like your street here, but at the end of it, there's this fucking like lift up and down, like this like up.
For those of you who don't know, I live in Hollywood. It's not a very nice street.
So you're supposed to not be in that neighborhood unless you have some sort of credential.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything gnarly, just like you live in that.
Yeah,
street.
Like a TJ Maxx.
Yeah, you got your Blockbuster card. You're cool.
Yeah, I forgot this was.
Hey, hold on. Blockbuster card says six blocks down. I don't know why there would be New York's Mexico City.
Because it's this community. It's a small New York. Specifically, what's the island outside of New York? Whatever.
Manhattan is the island.
No, it's a little island outside.
Oh, Long Island.
Long Island. There you go. Specifically, yeah. Long Island folks.
Anyways, we get to the front of my uncle's house, and I remember someone going over to my dad's side of the window, and my mom says, "Don't get out of the car." Now, it's very big, or easy for people to come out and greet you and open the doors for you, and that's what we're used to. So I was like, oh, I don't know who this person is, but he's probably my uncle or my cousin, or the fuck is.
I don't know why he has that gun in his hand, but...
Yeah. I didn't see the gun yet.
Oh, wow.
All I saw was a person to the right of the car, and a person to the left of the car, and a person to the right of the car.
Quick question in between. Is acquiring a weapon in Mexico the same or as easy as getting one in the States back in the 90s?
All I know is that it's incredibly difficult to legally purchase a gun in Mexico.
Okay.
Like, it's almost impossible. Today.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible for any law-abiding legal citizen in Mexico to purchase a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Can you purchase a gun almost anywhere in Mexico?
So if you had a gun, it was probably bad news. I mean, it's like that today now, but I'm saying, like, if you had a gun, it's like he had to go through a lot to get that. He probably wants that because he's going to do bad.
That motherfucker did not go through the process to get that gun.
No, I'm just saying, like, well, even then, I'm just saying, like, because it is so hard, getting that gun must have been, like, not that he, let's say he went through illegal process to get it. Like,
No. If you're illegal, it's like a cell phone, like, hey, I need a gun, and then you get it.
Yeah.
You
know? All right. But was it hard to get cell phones back in the 90s in Mexico the same way it was hard to get cell phones?
Impossible.
So he comes up to the window.
He comes up to the window, goes over to my dad's side. My dad looks at my mom. My mom tells me and my sister, hold each other's hands and just kind of like chill. Okay. Right? I'm a dick. Didn't do it.
Oh my God. I know. You at this moment, like, this is the bit in the movie when you're like, no, I don't want to hold her hand.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
Super dick move. And you know my sister, so you're like, you're
yeah, yeah. She was probably like, she had already probably put her hand
out. She had no idea. She did not know.
Yeah, she's probably pretty young.
At least from the conversations that we have had, she knew something happened that day, but she didn't really know what happened that day.
Like, that's why I was wondering, do you remember it?
And that's why I say, and even though my parents have a very different memory of this,
mm-hmm.
Clearly, you know, I remember I'm sitting behind my dad who's driving. The guy opens the door. That's the first time that I see the gun. He's holding it down. And he murmurs something that later my dad told me that it had something to do with, like, hey, your children are in the back seat. Let's just do this amicably. My dad says, fuck yeah, for sure. He gets out of the car. My mom gets out of the car. The other dude on the other side, I remember being the shorter, fatter dude. And he tries to help my mom out of the car with a gun in his hand. Now, mind you, they're holding us up. They're stealing our car. But they're not like, get the fuck out of the car. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm
He
going to kill
grabs
your
your mom's
family. I'm
hand.
going to kill your kids. No, that's not what happened. Like, they were stealing the
So
car.
this isn't America. Okay, cool.
No, I mean, it is America. Mexico City is part of America. And my mom, like, yanking away, like, because the guy was, like, trying to help her out of the car. She's like, don't you fucking touch me. Are you kidding me? You fucking
You're
hold
stealing
me.
My,
You're stealing our car and shit, you know?
I'm not giving you that
And my
respect.
sister's kind of worried. Not really know what's going on. She barely remembers it. If she does, she doesn't want to talk about it, you know? We get out of the car. I remember, and then the kill switch thing, right, happens, and that's when it got a little bit altercated. Like, everything up to that moment.
How soon did it happen? Like, when they, as soon as they tried to turn on the car, like, just shut off?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Because you have to do the sequence, you know. Whatever the fucking sequence is. I remember getting out of the car with my sister and my mom, and then they try to turn on the car, it doesn't work, they take my dad away. Or they take my dad with them. And then we go into the party, and I honestly don't remember much after that. You know, I really don't. I remember my dad coming back, you know, very soon after that. And I'm going to say, like, 6 months later, we're on a plane to L.A.
Wow. So that pretty much did it. Your mom was like, we need to get out of here. We're going to
At that point, my mom was like, I love my country. I love... my culture, I would love my kids to grow up
I love my
as
family
Mexican.
More.
Yeah, I would love my kids to grow up as Mexican citizens, but I'm not gonna put up with that shit. I'm not gonna live with that. And so we moved to the United States. Do you mind pausing it so I can go to the fucking bathroom?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. So we're back here with Julio Macias. Julio, you once told me that you can lactate through your nipples. Is that a thing that still happens? I'm sorry, you didn't once tell me. You once showed me.
I don't know. I haven't.
You haven't tried it.
I haven't done it in a couple
since
years.
That 1 year at a Chili's in Miami, Florida. We were all sitting around finishing our.
I said, should I try it?
Yeah, I mean, if I don't want to force you to do it, but if you're as curious as I am, okay. So Julio's squeezing. I have to stand up for this.
No,
no.
Will it happen on your?
What the fuck? What the fuck? No, no. What is that?
I think it's sweat. I fucking think it's sweat.
But it's milky.
It's definitely milky.
How does honestly, man? I'm genuinely shocked right now. I did not think that's what was gonna happen. That, and it wasn't even like you had to change it. It had been like you've been holding it for like 10 years.
No, it was... Yeah.
Wow, yeah, you genuinely lactated. That's insane. But here's the thing, though. It wasn't like the center of the nipple. It was around the... It was.
That's
it was,
why I think it's sweat, because it's not coming out the nips.
That's crazy. Can I... Well, that concludes our podcast.
Oh...
so, but yeah, let's talk about how,
when I first came to the United States, one of the biggest things, cause I thought I had my game on fucking point. Like I was like,
how so? What do you mean?
Just cause like I'd been, you know, my dad in a way had been preparing me to move to the United States since I was a little kid by insisting that we only watch TV in English, you know?
And this is like BBC English, not even American.
No.
God, no.
That would have been fucking interesting.
Yeah, what
shit.
If you what if you grew up watching BBC? You would be the wittiest kid in school.
Okay, so listen to this story of I'm 8 years old. I moved to the United States. I go to elementary school. I'm
wow, I see it all happening right in front of me.
An undisclosed elementary school.
The walls are coming down.
In Burbank.
Wow, you went to school in Burbank when you were 8 years old? Crazy.
I moved from L.A.
I thought you grew up in Miami. This is blowing my mind.
I moved from Mexico City to Burbank.
Yeah.
Well, we lived in Sun Valley. We lived out in the docks, or boondocks, if you want to call it that. At the time, Stonehurst was kind of a rundown place, so my parents were able to get two houses, actually, because my aunt moved from Mexico City with us as well. Pretty well. And actually, the property went up, and when we finally moved to Miami, it's sad to go around that neighborhood because it just fucking dropped. And that was because of the crash, and, you know. But, anyways, when we were in Sun Valley and I was going to school in Burbank, and I remember the first day of school, my teacher, who I fell in love with immediately because she was Hawaiian.
Cool. That's awesome.
I surfed in the sunsets beyond the horizon. Oh, no, that's horrible. Well, at that time, I was feeling my I was 8 year old, so.
What year would that have been? Put a number on it, you're 8 years old. I want to say, 2000, maybe? 8 years old? Because when I was 8, I was 1998.
No, 1998.
1998, you were
fall.
8 years old.
Fall 1998.
Fall, and that was, the 90s were in flux, dude. The 90s was, everything was bro.
Closing time. Turn off your lights on.
Let's see, I'm going to look up while you talk. I'm going to look up
Mambo number 5. That was 1999.
I'm going to look up movies from 1998.
So I remember...
Truman Show came out.
I didn't see Truman Show.
I didn't see Truman Show until I was 20.
I definitely saw Truman Show in... Not in theaters, but in VCR.
Here's a perfect 1998 blockbuster. Armageddon came out that year.
I can stay awake just to hear you around.
Wow, Big Lebowski. This was a great year for cinema. Saving Private Ryan. Holy shit. Oh my.
It was an omen. It was an omen.
There's Something About Mary. Yeah. That is a perfect comedy for the night for 1998. So yeah, man. I mean, The Parent Trap. Look at that. Rushmore? That's crazy.
Yeah,
Patch Adams.
I came to LA in a very good time.
American History X, Blade, You've Got Mail, Waterboy. Oh my god, Godzilla. The Brandon Fraser one. Is that Brandon Fraser? No, not Brandon.
No.
No, that's the other guy.
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick, yeah. Wow, the first Rush Hour, The Wedding Singer. Jesus.
Dude. Yeah.
I came in at
the, if you would call it, pinnacle of American culture.
Pinnacle! Man, these were some kick ass movies.
Fuck yeah, they were.
Holy shit. What was your first movie you remember watching that blew you away?
Life is Beautiful.
Yes, that was a beautiful movie, wasn't it? Yeah. I would say that movie definitely hit
me.
That
was the first movie that I was like, oh, it's not all Aladdin and rainbows and sunshine.
That was the first movie that I saw where I was genuinely enjoying it, and I can tell it was funny. I was like, oh, this is really funny. This is a funny, good heart movie. And even as a kid, you can tell that this was really,
We went. That was one of the... What, can you check what year that was?
I'm going to do it right now.
I'm pretty sure that I went with all of my Mexican friends to go see that movie in theaters because one of my Mexican friends was Jewish and his mom was very adamant that we all go see it. And so a group of us went to go see it in theaters. And I remember
saw it in theaters?
Yeah. And I remember
it was 1997. You must have been pretty young.
7 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, before I moved to,
before I moved to, because I remember, like, I remember, if I would have saw this movie when I was seven, I probably wouldn't have understood it. But
oh, fucking, I got everything.
You got it? Okay,
yeah, I got
it. I probably didn't see it until I was like in my early young, like 12 or 13 or something.
But I remember seeing that film and being like, oh, because my parents didn't really expose me to that before then. Not that they shielded me. I mean,
no, I know, but they probably thought you weren't interested.
They like, you know, Die
Hard.
Just
show him like Toy Story and Predator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Die Hard was like a staple for Christmas.
For sure, for sure. You know? Great Christmas movie, by the way.
Yeah, dude. But
yeah, 1997, original title, La Vite est Belle.
La Vida Bella.
La Vida Bella.
I remember when I first moved to the United States, 8 years old, first day of class. Everyone is... I thought that I had, like, a command on the English language. And these people are... or all these kids are going up and down. It's like, oh, my name is Rosie. I was born on April 12th, 1990. Hey, my name is Taylor. I was born April 1992.
Why is he 2 years older if it's the same fucking class? Shut up,
man. Hey, my name's... Sorry, I'm getting offensive.
No, keep going, dude. Come on, you got it.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I was born on April 9th, 1990. Actually, Kenny, I have a great story with Kenny.
Kenneth?
Kenneth.
That's
Kenneth.
Cool.
Kenneth
we'll hear that
was
after.
Another Hispanic who, like, literally wiped his boogers on his sleeve and would go up to my mom, hey, Mrs. Macias, can Julio sleep over tonight? And my mom would be like, no, Kenneth, sorry, Julio doesn't sleep over anything. But, like, all of my friends are sleeping over. Can he just, like, hang out? And my mom's like, no, he can't, Kenny. We don't do that in Mexico. He's like, I know, but this is in Mexico. That wasn't good enough for my mom. Mom didn't let me sleep over. Shit. Even in high school, my mom didn't even let me fucking sleep over.
That's Hispanic moms. My mom was the same way. I wasn't able to see. Yeah.
I know.
If I slept over a friend's house, oh my god, I would have to think of, I would have to give him like a diagram of the reasons why, like pros and cons. Yeah, well, because when you're in high school, okay, I would like to segue into that real quick. We're going to talk about you in high school, but finish your first day in school, eighth grade.
Oh, yeah, we've been talking about that for an hour.
So what happened? We I know about your friend Kenneth. Go ahead.
Yeah, so everyone was going up, and I'm like, yeah, okay. So Julio, gang, calma. You were born on... And this is me thinking in Spanish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Julio, tú naciste en el 20 de marzo. Marzo, como Marte, como el planeta... 20 de marzo de 1990. All right. You're born on Mars. Mars is a planet. You say Mars in English as well. Okay. So it's probably Mars. Mars 20. I was born on Mars 20, 1990. Okay. Cool. Mars 20, 1990.
Julio, would you like to tell us?
Hi, my name is Julio Macias. I was born on Mars 20, 1990. The whole fucking classroom.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
And I heard people before me say March, and I was like, what the fuck is March?
But did you say it with an accent?
What? No, no accent.
You just said Mars.
My name is Julio Macias. I was born on the 20th, or on Mars 20th, because in Mexico we do, sorry.
Oh, you say numbers before months. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, month, day... No.
It would be day, month, year.
That's how it is here.
Here would be... No, you say I was born... Like, for example... March 20th. And here would be, hey, I was born August 24th, 1991.
Yeah, so there it's 20 Mars.
So you'd say it would be the day and the
I
month.
Said something that was really fucking weird that didn't make sense to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was called the kid from Mars 20 for the year.
If I were in that classroom and I heard the one kid say, I was born on Mars 20, I would be the kid that stands up and be like, I need to be friends with you.
And there were those few who did, like Kenneth.
Yeah, Kenneth.
Who was
yeah.
like, Kenneth was like.
Shout out to Kenneth, man. He
clearly,
knew what was up.
This guy knows what the fuck is up. He's like, all these other motherfuckers believe.
Oh, man. You know what, man? I will say, though, like, so you don't feel so alone, that happens. Like, that's like a bit in a lot of films where someone has to introduce themselves in a movie or like in a real life scenario as a kid.
It's not a bit, it's a real
genuine like anxiety induced scenario, man. Is that someone at the door? Come on in.
Yeah, you're good.
Come in here. Yeah. Anyone who doesn't know, Rachel just walked in. Rachel, come do a quick shout out real quick. She's walking on over. Come here. Can everyone hear how beautiful
Hello.
She is? Oh, you can't see her, but she's beautiful. Wait, come say hi. Come say, tell us
hello,
about.
Hello.
Here's Rachel. Tell us about your day. Did you have a good day today?
I did.
She had a good day. All right, that's all we need now.
Can I just tell you that I fucking fall in love with my wife every day, more and more and more.
That's beautiful, man.
Because of our mutual. Why the fuck are people doing certain things? Out of custom.
You know what, man? I think at the end of the day...
Like, I get culture. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, these are cultural things.
Mm-hmm.
But out of just random boredom custom?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fuck you guys.
You know what it is, man?
Not you guys. I mean, I guess you guys. But just in general...
I think what we're coming to as in a generation, as it was compared to before, is we're not marrying, you know... so-and-so because, oh, now it's time to get married. No, we're marrying our best friends, man. We're marrying the people.
No, that's I mean, it might be true for you. I'm not marrying my best friend.
Okay.
I'm marrying the woman that I love. You're closer to my best friend. My best friend is Ryan Han. He lives in Florida. And he's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon's best friend is Taylor Wilson. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
Tay.
Oh, I met Taylor.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
That's her best friend.
Super cool girl.
Friend, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
There's shit that you tell your friends that you don't tell your wife, that
mm-hmm.
you don't tell your husband. Maybe that's us.
I would consider Rachel my best friend. I tell her everything.
This podcast is
fucking sorry. You're my friend. I'm sorry, you are my best friend. But
actually, my agent just called me.
Oh, no, take it. We're going to take another break. Let's make up a song.
Okay.
Okay. Topic.
Rocks.
Okay. Hold on, wait. Wait. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the strongest man in the U.S.,
and we saw his newest movie, and our minds were blown away.
Because he goes from one side of the building to the next.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hooray! So I asked you earlier, what's the first movie you remember watching that really moved you? And that was Life is Beautiful. Or Beautiful Life?
Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful. Is it Life is Beautiful?
The Germany one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Life is Beautiful is the first movie that moved me.
Yeah. Let's talk about this is my go-to. The last movie you saw that was phenomenal or just good. One of the worst movies you've ever seen, and then just like your favorite movie ever. What was the last movie you saw that really was that was a good film?
The last,
and it can't
film.
Be Last of the Mohicans.
No, close though.
That was a good movie though.
Phantom Thread.
Oh my god, that was the movie I was thinking in my head. I swear to God, I was thinking that movie in my head because just today I was listening to Johnny Greenwood's score on that movie, and it's phenomenal. That's actually the worst movie I've ever seen.
No, bipartisan in the sense that I always fuck with Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. It was a film that I was like, I know it's a...
When you say you fuck with Daniel Day-Lewis, like, you text him and say, like, There Will Be Blood was overrated.
I text Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood, and it's kind of like a turn-on. As an expectation.
But also foreshadowing.
He's got a big cock. I love movies. I'm a big movie fan. I'm not like a actor that's like Marvel movies. Those aren't real movies.
I mean, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people like that.
Also, fuck you, yeah, dog. Fuck you,
yeah. Like, we were just talking about.
Those people rarely watch movies. They're like, we're more literary people. Yeah. We just like the idea of portraying some. Fuck you guys.
I know.
No, not actually fuck you guys. You guys.
The last film
incredible.
I saw was filmed on an iPhone, and it was a budget of $2, and it was
also. Please hire me on those things. I'm speaking facetiously about your work. Your work is beautiful. It's an amazing. I just really like Space Jam, and you can't
There's cast in the
There's a second one, and I'm for sure gonna fucking watch that, dude.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I'm gonna watch that.
Well, I just saw ESPN just Instagrammed. I follow ESPN on Instagram, and they just sent a post out saying, "Help us cast the new Monstars." Who's gonna be the new Monstars? If you can name. I think it's five.
They need to be all voice actors. None of them need to be actual actors. Because that's
well, they're obviously going to get the Hollywood. You know, they're going to get Chris Paul.
Justin Timberlake. He does voiceover on everything.
I don't think she understands Space Jam.
Oh, wait.
Space Jam.
I've never seen
Who would you...
Dude, she's Canadian.
As
bro.
The Monstars.
The Monstars.
I don't know what
No, they're gonna get the NBA stars who are she's
you're
never
gonna,
seen
you're
Space
gonna marry
Jam.
Her, right?
Sorry. I have to christen her.
I've never seen her.
You can get by without watching. Rachel
movies.
Was my first guest, and before the podcast started, I said disclosure, Rachel's Canadian. So just in case anyone has any differences or
I do need to watch it.
Hold on. I'm just gonna hit my boy Brad up real quick.
Go ahead.
Got on speakerphone.
Who's Brett?
Brett Gray. I'm a black.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
What's up, homie? Where you at?
I'm at CRM. I'm on where?
My dude. I'm doing this podcast, and it's about the most fun and hilarious time that I've had in a very, very long time.
Wow, that is a lot.
And if at any point, you would be interested in doing this 15 to 20 minute podcast, all you gotta do is come through.
Bold face line.
Not today. But I'm saying at some point, come through. He's gonna provide some bluntage, a water, and he's gonna ask you questions.
Lots of water, because it's free.
Hell yes.
Hey, let me. Hey, buddy, how's it going, man? Hey, Brett, how you doing, bud?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I've actually met you before. If we meet again, you'll recognize me. But I hope you're having a good day.
I think I recognize you from your voice already.
Oh, that's either a good thing or a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
Well, hey, listen, man. I hope everything's going well for you. But I have Julio over here. We're talking about a bunch of bullshit. But if you would ever have the pleasure. Hold on, I'm having a stroke. Give me a second.
give me the pleasure of coming over to this and just telling me your story and giving me some insight about what it's like to be the coolest guy of all time? It would really do me an honor.
I would love to.
All right, good. Hey, man, do me a favor. Where are you at right now?
I'm in Studio City.
Studio City. Okay, well, stop everything you're doing. Come to 1760 North.
No, not right now. No.
Okay.
Okay,
text me the address.
My dude. Actually, this is my boy. I just put you on speaker. This is my boy. I love him to death. I'm having a fucking blast, and I actually wouldn't tell you about this if I wasn't feeling it. But I was feeling it. This is a really fun thing to do. At any other time.
Yeah.
Because obviously you guys got a fucking reading at 8 in the morning tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Good luck on that, by the way. Have fun.
All right, brother. That was it. That was it. All right, much love. Hey, babe.
Sweet guy, man. So, wait. Let's go. I want to go back to this real quick. The Monstars of 19... Let me see what time when Space Jam came out. Space Jam came out in 1996.
I can't cast them today because I don't know what the original cast was.
Yes, we can. I have it right here. Original cast. Patrick Ewing.
Who is what?
He played the Green... Here, look. Here's a perfect... Here's what SportsCenter...
Here, is it on Netflix?
Or we might have to find it. That's the original cast right there. Read out the cast.
Okay. All right. So we have Patrick Ewing.
He played for the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Knicks.
Larry Johnson.
Who do you play for?
It
might say on his jersey.
Man, you're asking someone who doesn't look up.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. I don't know 100% basketball. Is it right there?
I don't know.
He played for North Carolina. Larry Johnson played for North Carolina. Muggsy Blues, I think, also played for North Carolina. Charles Barkley, who played for the Phoenix Suns. We all know Charles Barkley because he's one of the hosts of the TBS basketball announcers.
Don't you fucking lie, man. Just don't
and,
lie.
And then Sean Bradley played for the Philadelphia...
Eagles?
76ers. He played for the band Eagles. So yeah, the original lineup was Patrick Ewing, Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, Charles Barkley, and Sean Bradley. If we wanted to use today's players and we wanted to see them play the Monstars, it would have to be players that we see on TV all the time. If you can name five basketball players.
Unfortunately, I do not watch basketball. So I don't know.
What sport? Do you watch sports at all? You don't watch sports at all? You don't watch basketball?
FIFA.
Do you have to say that?
No, I don't. I don't follow any sports. I don't know any up and
coming. You should start watching basketball. Basketball's really fun, man. Basketball's a great sport.
It should. It's not that I don't want to. I just...
And it's not like you have to watch every game. Like, I watch basketball, like, once a month. You know what I mean? Like, I follow it online more than I watch it.
But you know the names, at least. And in baseball.
Only because I read the news. I try to keep up in, like, the basketball world because I like...
if you're trying to get this podcast, you should peep up in all current fucking news.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Your girl just said, mm-hmm.
Who said this was a fucking news podcast, first of all?
She just did right now. It just became a thing.
I like how she's saying you have to keep up in the news. Also, I'm not a resident in this country.
I keep up, I just can't vote.
Yeah, she can't even vote.
Get her! Wait, she's blonde and blue-eyed.
She's America's dream right
let's,
now.
This figure was, it out. Let's
she's,
figure it out.
She's
let's not kick her out, but let's figure it out.
So anyways, recently I had to change the address on my license. And
being
I had
too
to...
famous? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Is that something you have to go through?
No,
have
but
you experienced that?
I accidentally put up my phone number on Instagram.
You accidentally? What happened? Why? How'd that... What do you mean accidentally?
Most, hey guys, look at the picture of this dolphin. By the way, my phone number is. That's not a fucking accident, bro.
Your nude's not accepted. No.
That's not an accident, dude. You just want people to fucking call you up.
I just got into social media, like, the game after my blog came out.
You know what, man?
I know. It's like one of those, like...
No. I'm not talking shit. You have a very... a flux of followers on social media right now. That's
I do right now, and it's interesting.
You're getting popular in the entertainment world.
Yeah, and
good for you, man.
My biggest thing for me in that in social media is not knowing
how it works.
My fucking day to day isn't that special. I wake up. I go to the gym. I smoke some weed. I read some scripts. Fucking do my shit. I talk to people that I gotta talk to.
I think the most important.
If I'm lucky enough, I'll go to an audition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I don't think you have to have a sort of you don't have to have the.
What's
pressure.
Your day? What's your day to day like as an actor? What's your day to day
as an actor or as Christian Luga?
Yeah, as your fucking yeah.
You see what Rachel's doing.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's even though it might be different opportunities.
Now that you have this persona.
It's not a huge change if you book something.
But that's where I'm going. Now that you have this persona, don't think not once that you have to be someone that the people want to see.
No.
All you have to do is just show them who you really fucking are. Who cares? You want to post a picture of your foot and be like, has anyone ever had cramps? I don't know. Like, I'm not saying, like, generally it has to be a bunch of bullshit. When it comes to social media, when it comes to Instagram, take off your shoe. You get more comfortable once your shoes are off. Don't you feel better? Here's the thing. You weren't a social media influencer that became an actor. You're an actor who's starting to become a social media influencer because of your following. Not that you're an influencer, but you're starting to gain a lot of followers because of, you know, who you are in the entertainment business.
Right.
There's no reason to feel obligated to give the people what they want to see. The most important thing about yourself is that you are who you are. So you do whatever you want to do. If you say, what I'm saying is that when it comes to social media, you don't have to put out a video because, your manager and so-and-so says you have to do this every week. Do a video what you feel.
No manager or agent is telling any actor to put out anything at any time.
I don't know. I've heard there's managers out there that tell you have to post every week.
Sure, I guess.
It depends who you're with.
I'm sure that's a thing.
All I'm saying is that I'm glad this isn't live thank God for editing, right? Go ahead, take your time. How do we fix this podcast?
I'm still,
as you get older, you naturally understand what to do with a script. There you go. Like, when I read a script today, whether school helped me with it or not, I feel like I know what I need to do with the script. I feel like I know where this character needs to go. I feel like I know what this character wants, what this character is going to do. Because you read the script and you're like, especially if it speaks to you. If it's a character that you're not too familiar with, you're like, I don't know how this guy's going to... But you can read a script, and this character description is so similar to yourself, you're like, I know who this person's going to be. I know how to be this person. Because not only am I this person, but I understand this person's life. I understand this person's problems. So I'm going to act that, you know what I mean? But the character that you're playing in your show now, isn't necessarily... you.
this is someone else. This isn't your life. You can understand this person, but you're not that person. So how do you essentially segue into who Julio Macias is, reading the script and becoming spooky? Do you feel like...
I feel like it's almost an analogy on the Hispanic experience.
Mm-hmm.
The first season that we went through, I remember being perplexed about the idea of how I was going to play these characters, and then I realized these characters aren't necessarily... They are written characters, 100%. Like, these are all fictional characters and situations that are happening here or there, or nowhere. But my particular character came in as this villain, this person that just came in and stalked the core four, right? That's kind of how it seemed. And then he brings his lightness and his brother, and then he asks his brother to do something that's, for most people, inconceivable. Oh my God, how could you ask your brother to do this? Before I read the script, I might have been one of those people that kind of thought, like, how could anybody do this or ask this of anybody? Going into it, talking to people, you know, watching videos and interviews and, you know, back and forth. Anybody out there should definitely check out They Call Us Monsters. I think it's on Netflix right now. It's a very good perspective on what's going down. These aren't easy things to contend. How do you
play this person?
Yeah, man. How do you charge an 11-year-old for the murder of his father when his father beat his mother on a daily? Yeah. That kid's gonna go away for life. But that man for assault on his wife? 15 years? 10? Shit. 5 for fucking good behavior.
And you have to kind of take in all these things when you play this role, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you embody this characteristic when you're not nowhere near this type of person? I mean, whether it's like genuine or not,
love and how far you'll go for that. I love my brother and the limits that I would go to help him. Shit, I go to the end of the world. I sacrifice myself.
Because at the end of the day, it's like The Godfather. At the end of the day, no matter what happens, family is family.
Yeah, just don't do it with an Italian accent.
Orale!
What's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Yeah, I think I pretty much enjoyed every movie that I've ever watched.
Yeah, but if you've seen a movie, but even if it's like a movie that you know that you're enjoying, okay, but it could be like, for example, I watched XXX, The Return of Xander Cage, recently. Well, not recently, but in the last year or so. And it's probably the worst movie I've ever seen, but I had so much fun watching it because it's so out of the norm. It's so...
Well, at that point, you're just validating my point. Saying that, like, you can enjoy...
You enjoy every movie. But what's a movie that you've seen recently? Okay, how about this? Okay, then exactly. I can't ask you what's the worst movie you've seen. What's a movie you watch just to pass the time that you're like, I'm just gonna put this on. I don't have to pay attention, but it makes me feel good just to watch it.
The Wolverine.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Is that the one where he gets his powers for the first time? He gets an adamantium for the first time?
Yeah, it's just,
That's a good movie.
It's such a waste of a film.
There are some good elements to that film, though.
Hugh Jackman. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Oh, Hugh Jackman is good in everything he does. But, like, the scene where he ends up in the barn.
Have you seen me and Kate and Leopold? Also, Kate Leopold is a dope ass fucking... Kate Leopold is a romantic.
What year did it come out?
You didn't know.
What was that word?
Goldie Hawn. Yeah. Hugh Jackman. Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. It was called Kate Leopold.
And here, when we approach the Julio is drunk segment. From this point on. Any answer that he gives is probably fucking hammer. So don't take it to fucking words. Just take it as a Julio a couple of drinks.
Since when did you become the candle from Beauty and the Beast?
English is not my first language.
Okay.
And second.
We all know that. Born from Mars. Yeah.
That I've been drinking.
Yeah. You've been drinking.
Sometimes.
Well, that's the idea of this. Well, that's the whole thing of this podcast. We choose a drink to drink. We choose a drink to drink before the podcast and during the podcast so that we can get loosened up. And our choice is we've been drinking this whole time, just for so you guys know, we've been drinking beer.
Tito's vodka.
And Tito's vodka. Straight up.
Truth?
All it is it's mixed with a few ice cubes, and that's about it. First of all, it's not Kate Leopold. It's called Kate and Leopold. It stars Meg Ryan, Hugh Jackman, Liev Schreiber. That's a callback to his brother, Sabretooth, in The Wolverine. It's got Breckenmeyer, Natasha Lyonne, Bradley Wilford, who plays the bad guy in everything.
Did you happen to watch that movie?
Which one?
Kate Leopold.
Who, what?
Kate and Leopold?
No, I've never seen it.
There's a moment in Kate and Leopold where Kate, played by...
Meg Ryan.
Is telling Leopold, played by...
Hugh Jackman.
There's a moment where he's taking this very long pause before he says, Rich, creamery, but... I mean, he didn't say it like that. He said a lot sexier. But.
Sexier.
The line is Rich Crimmy Brother, and he goes on this fucking monologue or whatever. There's a moment where everyone in production is like, he's taking too long to say the fucking line!
We've been drinking way too much for this podcast.
Preferably. You got two questions before this fucking podcast is done.
Yeah. Two questions? Alright, cool.
Are we recording right now?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Is the day. I love Ralph Garman. And Kevin Smith, I love The Ralph Report and Hollywood Babylon. However, if you want to listen to something else, probably listen to Christian Lugo. He will definitely undersell you.